Coming up, I interview Dr. Jason Braley. He is the Sacramento Kings team physician. He's a guy that helps professional athletes get to peak performance. But I think as entrepreneurs, we're trying to get peak performance, but we suffer with stuff like stress and burnout and how much time to put into our job and how much time to be hanging, right, with the family and getting some downtime. So as we as entrepreneurs sort of wrestle with those internal struggles, I get to talk to the doctor here about maybe the way we ought to approach this ambitious career that we've all chosen. I am here with Dr. Jason Braley, Chief of Sports Medicine for Kaiser Permanente and the team physician for our Sacramento Kings. How you doing, Jason?
I'm well. How are you today?
I'm doing great. So calling this like I see it, I mean, how do you spend your time? You've got this huge job there with Kaiser, and then you also have our beloved Kings in your under your watch. How do you divide your time?
Yeah, tough question to answer. Some days I don't know. You just got to roll with it and see how it goes. Yeah, you know, I sort of look at my job. This will be my sixth year doing the role, so it's you have a bit of a flow of what to expect. So I think, you know, historically we'll start about now preseason, so we'll take care of their preseason exams, just give all the guys a head to toe. There's some criteria and things that have to be done for the NBA, cardiac screening, things of that nature. Then once training camp starts, then we're in preseason, we start covering games, and basically we're just available for the players and the staff for whatever issues that come up. During the season, we cover the home games, and that's just, again, sort of part of my job. I consider it my night job, which is sort of a fun thing.
Gotcha.
You know, I think it's a little bit different. I watch the games different than a fan, I think. You know, I think for me, it's just been a real fun evolution, considering that the Sacramento Kings were my first NBA game years ago back in the Arco
Arena. Oh, nice.
So, yeah, I mean, that was back in the late 90s, so to be able to do this role now in the Golden One, it's just sort of a fun thing. So just do that, and then we get through the season, and then there's Combine that rolls around and Summer League, so there's always something going on. But
so it's just getting started back up. How will you be watching the games differently than me as a normal fan? I go to Kings games all the time, and I watch it mostly about how well they're doing, how well they're playing, my favorite players.
Yeah.
How do you look at it?
Yeah, so I think for us, you know, we're really looking out to see if a player gets injured. You know, you want to see what happened at the time. I mean, I think in this day and age, there's always the replays. You can go back and sort of watch things and see what happens. So myself and Jason Zamanovic, another partner, team physician, you know, we're just sort of in our areas of expertise. If it's a head injury, someone gets elbowed, it's like, hey, is this player exhibiting signs of anything concerning? And, you know, again, I think we get caught up in the energy of the games, especially when it's close. So I think there still is that excitement of sort of just being part of what the NBA game is. But we're also sort of a little bit on the edge of our seats, just sort of, hey, like, you know, what's going on? Did anything concerning happen? What are we going to do next?
Yeah. You ever get caught up in the game, though? You must.
Yeah, I mean,
come on now.
No, for sure. I mean, I think that's where, again, you know, considering that the team is in an evolution itself, and we've got this new arena, and there's just so much energy around that. I think having been present at other playoff games, it's amazing how there have been some games where it's just still that environment and energy, even though it's just sort of a mid-season game.
Yeah.
You know, so that doesn't happen every game, obviously, but when it does, it's certainly fun to be part of that.
Well, yeah, and as entrepreneurs, we're always thinking about peak performance, right? When we are at our very best, opportunity, you know, we're in the zone. I call that banging, right? So when we're in that zone, I mean, things are cranking, but how do you... you know, obviously avoiding injury is huge, but what about just helping these guys, these young men, get to peak performance? Is that part of your scope?
Sure. So I think I look at this as really, it's a team effort, right? And I think that's almost cliche in this discussion based on the fact we're talking about sports, right? But I think we each come to the table with expertise that helps the sum total, right? So I think within the King staff, they have people that are looking out for their strength and conditioning. They have people that are looking out for their nutrition. And then I think for us on the physician side, I think building the relationships so that there's the communication and trust and things that, you know, they feel comfortable with us when injuries and illness comes up. So I think that's really what the key is. And I think that's just having the expertise of multiple different specialties to come to the table and then help them to that endpoint.
So right now you've got the Kings. Well, I'm excited about some of the new, I love De'Aaron Fox. I love that we picked up Marvin Bagley. So thinking about where we're at now in terms of health, how do you envision we're going to go into the season? Are we going in healthy? We're going in at our peak performance.
Yeah, you know, I think you're absolutely right. I think there's just a lot of young energy that's coming in, and I think there's just, you know, sort of a team around that's going to help tailor what they need to do to bring to the game. So I think that's sort of it, is that you just have to sort of capture that energy and put it in the right place. And that, you know, that again, that borders a lot sort of in other elements, the coaching elements and things like that. I think for us, it's just understanding why we're doing what we're doing. Why are we checking your blood tests? Why are we recommending simple things like a flu shot? Why are we, caring about immunizations, things like that. So stuff like that, that I think an athlete doesn't really give a lot of thought to, right? Yeah. I mean, that's our job, to just say, listen, this is the small stuff we can take care of now that will hopefully keep you healthy throughout the rest of the season.
Right. Well, let's contrast your day job with your night job, right? The Kings are, for now, your night job, we'll call it. Talk to us about what you do at Kaiser Permanente.
Yeah, sure. So I think if you look at the field of sports medicine is just a very broad term in my perspective. So, you know, my answer to that is I look at it sort of like a Venn diagram. You've got all these circles and they meet in the middle to provide care around sports medicine. So my background is in primary care. So that's a residency where we just take care of the general health of patients. The sports medicine fellowship is an additional year of training and board certification that's around the musculoskeletal, sports-related concussion, and health issues that affect athletes. So that's what I do day-to-day with the patients that I see. You have orthopedic surgeons that have done fellowship training in sports medicine. That's if somebody tears an ACL or there's some sort of surgical issue that needs arthroscopic surgery. There are neuropsychologists and psychologists that help with the mental game and that kind of thing. There's physical therapists. There's athletic trainers. So that's my piece of it, but that's how I see it sort of all coming together and what I do on a daily basis.
Well, I'm at that age where I'm thinking about my health and longevity, right? So I want to make sure I'm living longer so I can throw batting practice to my great-grandchildren when they eventually get here. So that's, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs, I mean, entrepreneurship is a stressful thing. So
sure.
I use a little bit of working out to sort of combat that. I do some, I try to keep myself in the right mind, but I mean, as you divide up the mind and the body, I mean, which is more of a killer these days? Which one sets us back the most?
Boy, that's a tough question. So, I think what's actually been advantageous to me now that I'm in that mid-40s range is that I sort of get that where if you're a career person, you're driven, you're busy, mentally you remember how you felt 20 years ago, but then physically you're not quite there, right? And I think in our lives we get hung up in the duties that we have to do day to day. Oftentimes our sleep suffers. We sort of get stressed out. We let that vibe take over what we're doing day to day. So I think there's just so much evidence coming out on how important rest is to your physical recovery, your mental recovery, how well you're going to perform the next day. The second thing beyond that is I think we just, we sit in our cars, we sit in our desks, we get stiff, right? So just taking that time to sort of keep your joints mobile and maintain muscle strength. I think that's a huge one that just gets missed. And the importance of just, regular cardiovascular exercise, hitting the major muscle groups, getting good rest, hydration, like all that stuff that your mom told you about years ago, it actually is important.
I think a guy like me was brought up thinking no pain, no gain. You just play through it. And maybe even play through an injury, which is obviously not helpful. But using our fuel that we have to continue to drive ambitiously, but in reality, maybe we ought to be living more along the lines of the peace movement. Even trying, you know what I mean? It's like we have to figure out a way to live with in harmony with our environment, so the stress doesn't kill us.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it too is this sort of goes back to what I've learned within my own sort of experience, is that, your knee starts to hurt, you got a little bit of arthritis there, right? So mentally it's a bummer because you're like, hey, it didn't feel like this 10 years ago, right? So you don't actually want to go out to exercise because it may hurt. But I think if you sort of reframe it and understand that, listen, this is part of a natural progression, but if you keep moving, you keep the muscles strong that control the joint, it's actually going to control your pain, right? So it's just sort of changing that mindset and convincing people to actually do that.
So there's a CrossFit craze out there. I like to say, how do you know if your buddy is doing CrossFit? He'll freaking tell you, right? Everybody's talking about CrossFit. I do CrossFit. So, but just thinking about that. So are things like CrossFit, that pounding over and over, if we're doing that with proper form, is it healthy?
No, I think it is. And I think it's so funny you mentioned that, because I think in my job, you learn that there's a culture and an attitude sort of in all these different niches. So somebody that's a triathlete versus a CrossFit athlete, completely different approach to life. I mean, it just truly is, right? So I think, the no pain, no gain thing, without sounding like I'm harshing on CrossFit, I think the hardest part with CrossFit athletes is to just pull the reins in, right? It's like, wait, what do you mean I can't lift overhead with my shoulder with this problem.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that you're out forever. Let's just sort of pull it back. Let's check the mechanics and, you know, get you back to that point, right?
So it's sort of addictive. Sort of yeah. Yeah. It's like, no, I'm going to play through. I'm right. competitive with the other right. people in my CrossFit gym yes. or maybe even yes. beyond.
Yeah.
So yeah, pulling in the reins. And it, now is that starts when you, in younger people too, right? You don't yeah. need to wait till you're 55 before you start pulling in the reins, right?
No, it's a super key point, and I think that's another huge part of my job is that we see the young athletes, and you know we call it single sport specialization at the single digits, right? So if you think about athletes that are under age 10, think about the markets that are out there for competitive soccer, softball, baseball, whatever it is. And this is a conversation I have literally daily where it's not me saying that I think athletes should not do that, but I think you have to just be careful that there's a market out there that sells that athletes need to do this in order to succeed later in their teens. But if you look at the research, you know, athletes that are killing themselves in the single digits, by the time they get to their latter teen years, they're starting to wear themselves out, and you're seeing injuries that don't typically happen until the 40s and 50s because of how hard they're going at it. So I think that's another sort of dichotomy where you got to just sort of separate out and say, hey, sports and exercise is huge. It's a huge part of the development of a child. The team sport experience is huge. It's been shown to be such a huge part of character development, how successful they are later in life. But tailoring that with the risk of physical injury.
I coached football, you know, younger kids and teenagers for a number of years. And now the sport that I love so much is sort of under attack because of the, for a variety of reasons, but the concussion issue yeah. is front and center. When should we start letting our kids go full contact head to head? I guess yeah. you never go head to head anymore, right?
Right. No, for sure. And honestly, it is a hot topic. And again, I sort of feel like it's a great question. It's conversations I have again on a regular basis. So the way I look at it is this. I think that concussion has had a huge amount of media exposure, understandably, and it should. But I think, as we've all seen in the media, some things that are put out there are designed to be clickbait or to get you in, kind of draw in attention. And I think it can potentially create some hysteria, you know. So I think the key issue is that, in my opinion, there's some research that's still evolving. We may learn things down the road that says, hey, we should have been more cautious, right? But at the same time, I think if you're being smart, you're teaching good form, looking at rules that may put athletes at risk, like the spearing and the direct head contact and things like that. As long as you're being smart and aware of what it is and looking for the signs and taking precautions if there's any concern, then, you know, keep going. Let's just keep doing what we're doing.
For sure. So thinking about you, you've got a high pressure job. If I'm, you know, you're here, you're wearing a tie, which is, look at me, I'm Joe Casual. So, but you are buttoned up. You are seeing patients who whose lives are at stake. You are also dealing with the Sacramento Kings, right? People who are extremely high profile. How do you deal with the stress of these opposing occupations, I suppose?
Yeah. So that's another good question. So, you know, I don't have a great solution because, again, I think, you know, it fluctuates for me throughout the year. So sometimes people say, oh, how do you stay fit? How do you keep your weight down? And my standard answer is stress and caffeine. That's sort of like the number one thing.
So caffeine's okay for you then, right?
No. That's a huge asterisk, and let's go backwards. That's just my little running joke on it. No, I mean, here's the thing. So for me, road cycling was something that I really used to enjoy a lot, and I still try to do that, and I've been fortunate enough to integrate that in with my kids. So we'll go out and hit the trail on the weekend. I have a device called an indoor trainer, so I'll hook my bike up indoors, and I'll hit that 5 o'clock, you know, alarm and try to do that. But again, I just have to be smart around what my fatigue level is in season. If I'm not getting home till 11:30, going to bed at midnight, you know, that's a hard thing to keep up on. In the summer, I try to commute. I can jump on the trail. It's a 20-mile door-to-door, so I don't, you know, in a good summer, I'll do that 2-3 times a week, and that's just a way for me to sort of mentally clear myself and get some exercise. But that's, I'm fortunate. I'm fortunate to be able to do that. I work in a place that has equipment to do some strength training, right? So that works out quite well. You know, my son and I, he's now at that age where we can go to the gym. Came home last night, we ran to the gym, did a little bit of weights, came home. Nice. So again, you just have to sort of look for those opportunities, understanding that some of those things are not available across the board to everybody. But just listen, just moving the body. I think that's sort of the key thing. And remembering when you get stuck, you're sitting at your computer, get up, walk around, go talk to someone real quick. Just mentally, you know, clear it out a little bit.
Well, I love to understand how very successful people think. Where did your ambitious philosophy come from? Obviously, you're still very driven. You've had a ton of success. Give us the background. Did something happen to you where you just had something to prove?
I don't know.
How did this happen?
I don't know. No, seriously. I think I look at this a little bit bigger picture, a little bit more kind of cosmically. I mean, you know, I think for me personally, there were just a lot of steps that when I think back, you know, I just feel like there were sort of things that got put in place that sort of happened for a reason. So, you know, I go back to the 90s in high school and college, and I just made that decision to pursue medical school. That worked out. I went to residency. I sort of felt drawn to primary care. I did a program through the military where they pay for school, and then I gave them 3 years. So I was with the Navy for 3 years, and that was awesome. Really good experience. And then from that point, I got done and said, hey, what are my other opportunities? I looked into this sports medicine fellowship. Randomly, as a cyclist, I was in this a Barnes & Noble in Seattle, and I pulled this magazine off the shelf, and there was an article by a team physician for a cycling team with her email. So I just said, hey, I got nothing to lose. I'm going to email her. So just struck up a friendship with her. She sort of became a mentor when I went out on the interview trail for fellowships. I ended up interviewing at Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, which is nice. Where she had gone to fellowship. So the fact that she had a friendship, I think there may or may not have been a little bit of calls behind the scenes to say, hey, I know this guy. He's a decent dude. So I matched a fellowship there. They happen to have affiliations with the Browns, the Indians, and the Cavaliers. So for that year, I had the exposure to the NBA. After I got done with fellowship, went up to Seattle where I had a really good opportunity. My wife had some family up there, so just sort of got some professional roots into the ground a little bit, affiliated with a pro cycling team, traveled with them for about 5 years. So that sort of, you know, just helped me along the professional road. I'm a California native. Seattle's a great place, but man, when it's June and it's 51 degrees and drizzling, that's just not where it's at. So yeah, I had an opportunity to come back to Sacramento again. I had some family in the area back in the 90s, which is where I, you know, went to the Kings for the first time. So based on my Cavaliers exposure, my sports training there, my professional experience with cycling, it just sort of morphed into my opportunity here. So yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy road. I mean, I'm a driven person. I sort of like seeing stuff get done and being part of stuff like this, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I got a couple more questions. So just thinking about advice to guys and gals that may be listening right now, thinking about they're going to go all in on their project, right? So you go all in for this period and, you know, at some point you have to take some time off to slow it down. I think there, but when you have an opportunity, you got to go grab it. So how do you know when it's time to like shut it down? And I call it hanging, right? Get some downtime. What are those signs for ordinary people that they need to slow it down for a second before they get back on and sprint once more?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, again, sort of speaking from experience, I think if you start to get that feeling internally that, you know, your trigger's a little bit more sensitive, then it's maybe time to rethink what's going on. And, you know, I think one of the other things is that, you know, if you exercise regularly, you understand that your heart rate's going to be a little lower in the morning, and then throughout the day, you know, you'll sort of feel that you're a little bit more relaxed. And that's been another yardstick for me, is that I can tell when my pulse rate's a little bit sort of creeping up. And then there's just that whole body tension, that sort of that muscular sort of tightness and just feeling like everything's, you know, caving in on you a little bit. So those are sort of the simple things that for me are sort of signs that I know I need to pull back. You know, I will admit, I don't know that I always do that well, because I think, as you know, when you're sort of gunning it and try to do a good job at what you're doing day to day, it's sort of hard to pull back on that. But those things I try to look at, and I think honestly, it's been an evolution and I'm learning more and more every year.
What's a guy like you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about? You ever wake up and your heart's racing a little bit?
Yeah, all the time. It's usually more, okay, what do I have to do tomorrow? What do I need to do next week? I wonder what's going to happen with this person. I better call them by then. You know, just stuff like that.
People, but I'm sure schedule. You get it. Yeah. I hear that once in a while. I feel that once in a while myself. Okay, so last question. Just pull out the crystal ball, if you will, for us for a second. We think about the Sacramento Kings, the team that we both love. Obviously, we're approaching an upcoming season. I mean, paint the picture for what you envision for the Sacramento Kings and the health of the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of just looking at all the opportunities that are going on in Sacramento. So again, this is my sixth year back, and it's just been an explosion of what's going on in the community. And I think this is where, again, the question in my perspective is really broad. I mean, I think I just, you know, I think about my opportunity with our sports medicine center downtown. I think about, you know, what Kaiser Permanente has done with their other health center there at DoCo. I see what the DoCo Center is, the arena. So I just think there's an energy that I think players that are coming in, despite where the team has been historically, understand that there's an energy behind that. And I think what I hope and what I think we're going to bring is just an energy that will come along and translate into how they fare, you know, throughout the season health-wise and beyond that.
Yeah. Dr. Jason Braley, thank you for what you do for all those trying to get back in the game for CrossFit or casual sports that we as entrepreneurs like to do. And thank you for what you do for this this team that that we love so much. Appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
Much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
If you like our entrepreneurial stories, if you like the messages that we bring that inspire, if you want a little more Mark Haney, not everybody does, but if you do, feel free to subscribe, feel free to be part of our community, engage, comment, share. I want to get to know you better. You want to get to know me better. Follow me on all our social media platforms at The Mark Haney. I look forward to knowing you better, and let's get to know each other better so we can help build these businesses that we love.